All right, welcome to the abbreviated morning research presentation session. And first up, we have Chris Dial, who is going to tell us about Gold Glove Awards in the advanced metric age.
So today I'm going to talk about the Gold Gloves in the advanced metric age. I'm Chris Dial from the Carolina chapter, and I've done this work for a very long time. First up, my acknowledgments. Those always get cut out in all the talks, so I don't want to do that. Thanks to Stats, Don Zemenda in particular, in case he's here. Hey, Don. And Sean Foreman, Baseball Reference, Hans, Sean Lehman, the Baseball Archives, Baseball Info Solutions, Mark Simon helped me out here. Obviously, Retro Sheet underlines everything, and Fangraphs and Dave Appleman for this particular presentation did a lot to support me putting this together. And then there's a lot, your name is probably on there if you and I have ever discussed the way I should probably do this. So Dan Zimborski, who is now a writer at ESPN, back in the 90s used to say it's easier to win two gold gloves than it is to win one gold glove. And in 1999, Rafael Palmeiro won his third consecutive gold glove at first base. Now, old people help out the young people on why that was important. It was important because in 1999, Rafael Palmeiro did not play first base. So it was a really good gold glove award winner. And you can see Voris McCracken, who we all now know, said, hopefully this is the end of these awards, right? But that is not really fair because, if you don't recall, in 1999, there were no sabermetrics. Well, there were, but they were not in the mainstream. They didn't exist. Pitch counts were just coming into vogue. So if that's all teams are doing, they really don't know about evaluating defense other than errors, etc. Now, everybody had a cow. We were at the time writing on Usenet. Everybody on Usenet had a cow. All the media had a cow. I mean, there were a lot of cows. So the way they were actually going, the easiest way to fix this, there's two good ways to fix it, but the number one way is to not have a DH. If you don't have a DH, then no one playing DH wins the gold glove. It's very important. But because there were no sabermetrics, nothing changed, right? Spring became summer, summer became fall, and so on for a decade. And then along came a hero. Not the hero we needed, but the hero we deserved. Derek Jeter won his fifth gold glove. Now, the good news is that the bloggers, the Usenet guys, who were writing at Futility Infield, or who were writing at AaronGleeman.com, USS Mariner, those guys were writing for Sports Illustrated and NBC Sports. So when the cows were had this time, it was a big deal for Rawlings, because now, I don't care what they say over there. In addition, metrics were out. Bill James and John DeWan had really pushed forward. One, DRS was widely available at Baseball Info Solutions, and they had the Fielding Bible Awards. So there was another set of awards being written about where they talked about who actually was a good fielder. So Rawlings and, that's Fonzie. So that really provided Rawlings with a call to action. What are we going to do? So Rawlings and Saber got together, and this is also, you know, when the analytics conference was coming along, and said, how do we, you know, marry the art of fielding with the science of baseball? And Saber created a committee to look at metrics that existed and come up with the Saber defensive index. So this is about the only slide that has any real text on it, and I'm pretty sure this is going to get posted later, so don't hurt yourself. But this DRS, which is out of Baseball Info Solutions, which was available at the time, even a year ago, I thought it was 2006 or 7, but when I started doing this work and I received the data, it actually goes all the way back to 2003. So, and then RED, which I invented, sort of, Stats made ZR, and I used to be a stringer for them, so I understood the data well, so I said, yeah, we can do this. And I started that in the mid-90s, but could push that back to 88. And then UZR, which is developed by Mickey Lickman, but he pulls from Baseball Info Solutions, so that's really two data sets. And then DRA, Michael Humphreys, who does have an excellent book. Some of my comments around Jeter came out of that book. But I got his data from him. That was kindly shared. And then Sean Smith, who really had done the yeoman's work of doing all of history really through that, at least as far back as we can reasonably go. So if you don't know, the Sabre Defensive Index, or the SDI, accounts for 30 votes. So the way that works is we aggregate these. Sean and FX aggregate them. We put them in a big spreadsheet. We order them by the people who save the most runs, and then we allocate votes, Sabres votes, you know, stats votes, Fangraphs votes, orient those into sending that along to Rawlings. So, Rob Nyer wrote a thing when this came out that said, oh, I didn't know how it was going to turn out, but this actually looks like a good idea. And he interviewed some managers, and Joe Maddon said, man, that's much better. Now, Maddon was with the Rays at the time. He was like, that seems like it's going to be informative because I know I only see the Red Sox 20 times. I don't know who else is any good. He said, but I can't imagine these hard heads paying any attention to something that you put out. We don't read the internet. I don't have that kind of time. So it would be interesting to see how this turned out. So if you don't know who all-time Gold Glove winners are, you can glance at that at Baseball Reference. Number one, Greg Maddux, 18 gold gloves. I love this picture. How many gold gloves should Greg, if we know that you win a gold glove you don't deserve, and Greg Maddux is the best fielding first baseman of his pitcher of his generation, and probably, arguably, of all time. He led in SDI 6 times. Now, for Greg Maddux, he's a Hall of Famer. That's not a question, right? But he keeps winning, right, because he's Greg Maddux. And he wins by momentum. But the Cy Young Award winner, he was the best pitcher, too, but they didn't give him the Cy Young every year. So you give it to who's better that season. But this is a little too harsh. Plus, what if we're not exactly right? I mean, y'all know me. So if I say, you know, you have to lead in SDI, and you go, maybe not. And I'll go, well, probably not. I don't dig in my heels in arguments. I really like to gather all the information. I'm very flexible. So if you only, he led in 6 times, but what happens if he was in the top 2? It's just close enough. So he was first or second 11 times. And I said, okay, that makes sense. I also looked at how many times was he in first, second, or third, and so on and so forth. And what we essentially found out, that one or two, if you're in the top 2, that's pretty good because the votes start dropping off. The gap between 1 and 2 is narrower than the gap between 2 and 3 and so on. So this is what it would look like for all the pitchers. Now, it's really incredible what you see here. Kenny Rogers was a great fielding pitcher, and he won a handful of gold gloves, but he should have won a couple more. R.A. Dickey should have won a couple. So it was really great, right? Oh, one clarity. These Rawlings Gold Gloves are which ones occurred between 1988 and 2017. So I apologize for leaving that out. Because the data where we have all of what we're doing here is going to go back to 88. So this is from 88 forward. So if your favorite player, right? So you saw Maddux. So if Maddux was your favorite player and you went 18 gold gloves, oh, maybe 11 gold gloves. Your favorite player is going to be disparaged in this presentation. If you thought he was a great fielder, he was not. So I like Zach Greinke. He's a nice man, but didn't lead to, he wasn't in the top 2. So you don't have to lead. Wasn't in the top 2. So this is, I took all the Gold Glove winners going back to 88, all the way up through 2012, because that's before the SDI. And that is what the graph looks like, whether or not the Gold Glove winner was in the top 1 or 2. Now, for outfielders, you have to be in the top 6 because they voted for outfielders. So in 2013, we just published the information. In 2014 or 15, Rawlings said, hey, let's put that on the actual ballot. So the ballot changed, and now our numbers went on the ballot beside fielding percentage. And then what happened? Well, I will say, on Joe Madden thought it would not have a lot of influence. I would say it has a significant amount of influence. So I will claim that because of this graph, when I go back in the looking from 88 to 2012, if I say this guy would have won the Gold Glove or not won the Gold Glove, I have a 90% chance that actually would have occurred. Okay, so that's why I claim that this works. This is what the RGG and the SDI agree on from 1988 to 2012. So the pitchers, which you just saw, so every year there's 25 awards, right? I mean, there's 25 years of awards. Of those 25 years, the AL got 10 of the pitchers out of 25. The NL got 12. Catchers, they actually get pretty good. Now, the reason they get catchers pretty good is because the Gold Gloves, even now, we evaluate catchers the same way that teams, called stealings, et cetera, you know, the little things we could see catchers do. They do third baseman pretty well, but you can see first baseman is unbelievably poor, and the outfield, right, now there are three awards in outfield, is not very good, and the AL shortstop is terrible, 5 out of 25. They are giving the award to somebody, so if you think about who in the AL won a bunch of Gold Gloves between 1988 and 2012, they probably didn't deserve it. We'll get to that. So, catchers. I tried to find the best picture of everyone. So, Ivan Rodriguez recently elected the Hall of Fame. He actually deserved his Gold Gloves. Right, 13 is a lot of Gold Gloves, so maybe he deserved 9 or 10, but he deserved them. Yadier Molina, every one of them, not exactly. So he didn't deserve one or two of them, but he deserved it one or two other times that he did not win. So a little methodology clarification. So if Yadier Molina finished first in the voting but was fourth overall in the SDI, he does not get that Gold Glove. If he finished first in the voting and was the number one or number two, he gets to keep the Gold Glove, and whoever finished second, I'm sorry, Gerald Laird, you did not get the Gold Glove. And if he finished second and the other guy finished not in the top two, finished fifth, Yadier Molina gets the Gold Glove. So that's how we're cutting people out. And you can see just from this, oh, all those catchers make sense. All right? First base. The only thing I want to point out here is the bottom three guys. That is 16 Gold Gloves. Not in the top two for any of them in any of those years. Mark Grace was a fantastic fielder. I've recently been positing, would Mark Grace be in the major leagues today because he couldn't hit the ball far enough, and that's a big factor now. But his glove was fantastic. Here's something sad to see. Albert Pujols should have 5 Gold Gloves. I mean, his resume, he's borderline Hall of Famer, right? And so those Gold Gloves may have pushed him over. So, and it's, and you know, it's not all cut and dry. I mean, what you see Teixeira. Teixeira has 5 Gold Gloves, and he won 2, and he finished in the top 5 a few times. So he was a good fielder. This doesn't, if you're, are this 3 and 4 and 5, maybe you're a good fielder. You're, these six, that's not good. Oh, Rafael Palmeiro. You see Rafael Palmeiro on here? Remember, he won 3 in a row, and he didn't deserve one of them because he was a designated hitter, but he should have won 2 other ones, so he really should have ended up with 4 instead of the 3 he won. Second base. Now, everyone knows Robbie Alomar was a great fielder. No, he wasn't. That's just it. He didn't deserve those Gold Gloves. In fact, the 3 Gold Gloves that he has up here, right? And the RGG means he was voted and won the Gold Glove. The SDI, he finished 2nd, all 3 of those. He never led. So if I were the kind of person that would only say my way or the highway, which I'm not, regardless of what all of those people would say, he would have 0 Gold Gloves. Now, here's the heartbreaker. Kinsler and Utley should have a lot of Gold Gloves. Ian Kinsler came in the league the same time as whoever plays for Boston, Pedroia. Everybody, Pedroia is great. He's a Hall of Famer. Ian Kinsler, I don't even know who that is. Ian Kinsler is a better player than Pedroia. They came in the league the same year. He's a better player. That's the most controversial thing. Brett Boone won 4 Gold Gloves, and onward. By the way, it's really hard to find baseball cards of defensive players. They're all batting. Tops, take note. Third base. You mentioned earlier third basemen get it right, right? They do okay at that, and you can see that these are all right. These are the most flattering pictures I could find of those players. I do like that they're all the exact same position, right? I will say right now, Evan Longoria is one of the more underrated ones. We had a great, great, 40-year run of them. Ventura, Rowland, and Beltre. Who wins? So this isn't to say Adrian Beltre is not a good fielder. He's a great fielder. He just isn't going to be the best that year, right? Beltre and Rowland came in around the same time. Then Longoria came in, and now Arenado. And Arenado has deserved every one of them. They're that good. And actually, I think he has one up. So he's a great fielder. And I mentioned earlier, they get third baseman right. So shortstops. I want to start by saying the shortstops, fielding is a young man's game. If you have a player who is 30 and he's winning a Gold Glove, that is probably not right. There is probably a 23-year-old out there killing it if he gets a chance. They just didn't used to vote for him. But Ozzie Smith, this is the tail end of Ozzie's career. He actually was still as great a fielder as ever. He should have won at least 4 of those Gold Gloves. Andrelton Simmons deserves his Gold Gloves. And Barry Larkin deserved none of his. He basically robbed Royce Clayton of as much fame as Royce Clayton was ever going to get. Lastly, Vizquel was the tremendous debate for the Hall of Fame because he's the second greatest shortstop of all time. No, he wasn't. He finished in the top 2 times. And he wasn't, like, close. He was a decent fielder, but he was not a great fielder. Oh, actually, and you see his card. I don't have him fielding. He's bunting. He couldn't hit either. Outfield. Now, if you know me, you know I am loath of the praise of Andrew Jones and his Gold Gloves. But I'm a scientist. The math says Andrew Jones deserved all those Gold Gloves, so I will still present that, even if it frustrates me a little bit. So Andrew Jones deserved it. Jason Hayward actually should have won a year before he started winning them. Devon White was a great, great fielder. These are all great. Kevin Kiermaier actually deserved another one. Mike Trout. Anyway, I would want to say one thing about that. In this metric, Mike Trout would have won a Gold Glove. So, right there, because he hits 320. So you go, well, there's way more outfielders. Right, there's another slide. But you see Barry Bonds and Jim Edmonds in there, right? They won a bunch of Gold Gloves, and they didn't deserve them. I mean, the momentum is crazy. It's really hard to stop it. But Bonds actually had a couple of years where he would, I think one of those Gold Gloves, he did not win the Gold Glove, but he should have won by a very large margin. So it was very interesting to see how in all of these rankings, something would change like that, where you should have won but didn't. Bless you. All right, now for the fun part. So if you grew up or ever watched baseball between 1989 and 2012, you knew who the greatest fielding outfielder of all time is because he still has the most Gold Gloves of all time. We knew in Usenet that Ken Griffey Jr. was not a good fielder. Now, I had never done it this way. The first time I did it was this. He finished in the top 6 in SDI because outfielders is a group, not 1, not 2. I'm not asking for that. Top 6, 1 time. Not a good fielder. He finished in the negative run save. He was a bad fielder. Okay? I apologize to the Griffey fans. But you can see he's not alone in that. When you get a reputation, that's it. Torrey Hunter, Ichiro Suzuki, who was a very good fielder and deserved at least 4 Gold Gloves, but he did not deserve 10 Gold Gloves. Larry Walker. Now, Larry Walker and Ichiro both won on arm, right? A lot of people won on arm. Some of the other stuff down here, Andy Van Slyke If you remember, he's the smart guy in the Pirates outfield. I wish he'd have been fast in the outfield because he was not good. And they really have to look at this and say, these guys aren't in there. The best one for me down here is Sammy Sosa. Sammy Sosa, and these were early, so these were 94 to 97, Gold Glove winner. And that was really an interesting aspect to it. So when you go through all these, and that's all the positions, we're not going to go anymore, but the key aspect to all of these is if you have a player that you see every day and you're sure is a good fielder, he may or may not be, and certainly if they're old. Kirby Puckett, I don't mean to disparage you, but you really take a look at these names. Now, that's all fun, and I'm sorry about your favorites. But now, who are the actual greatest fielders then? If the people we know are not the greatest fielders, who are the greatest fielders? Before I do that, I left something out on the Kinsler thing. So Pedroia is at the edge of Hall of Fame. If he won 8 gold gloves, would he be being really talked about as 8 gold gloves like Alomar did? And he was in the top 1 or 2, 8 out of 9 years, Ian Kinsler. So that's a shame. Same with Chase Utley. I would say Chase Utley is a complete borderline in the conversation. Give him 7 gold gloves, where is he? And he has 0. Now, who are the greatest fielders from this entire time? So you can't just take it because people play different innings, et cetera, different games, chances, blah, 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 blah. But the SDI, I divide that by 1,300, and I give it a cutoff of about 8,000 innings, so you played a bunch of seasons. Now, the people on the left are the best, in case y'all didn't know what plus and minus meant, and the people on the right are the worst. Now, the people on the left, you see the people in yellow? Those people should have won multiple gold gloves and didn't win any, right? I'm glad that Brett Gardner finally won, but he's actually deserved a gold glove a couple of times. And it's really obvious, Darren Erstad, Andrew Jones, these are people we know and won gold gloves and deserved them. You'll also notice the number of innings on the left is much higher than the number of innings on the right because eventually your terribleness with the glove catches up with you for most people. You'll also see on the right somebody that everyone knew was a bad fielder. Everyone. Except for one person on the right. For some reason, people did not know and still deny that he was a terrible, terrible fielder. I mean, Gary Sheffield couldn't be more indifferent. Adam Dunn, Bobby Bonilla, everyone knows these are bad fielders. How on earth does Derek Jeter sit in the middle of that and no one notice? Well, it happened. And he's highlighted because he, of course, has 5 gold gloves. I have no idea where I am in time. That's all my fault. So I'm done. I'm getting the hook saved. So one last time, thanks to all of these people. I appreciate it. I'm Chris Dial. I'll have questions afterwards. Wow. Go. Dr. Nathan. Is this on? You're not going to sing for us, are you?
Talk loud.
Okay. Yes. Comes in next year's convention. I don't know. It will get there. The problem is the data is really massive, and so really getting it narrowed down to where you can make a metric out of it. Like, they do have catch probability and hit probability, but catch probability is about how far you had to run. Well, what if you didn't stand over there? So they still have to work it. Tom Tango and I talk about it all the time, and I think in the next year or two we'll have some good metrics. The best metric that we are going to get out of that is who gets the best jump, and that's really what sets a lot of this apart. It's not just fast. How quickly did you read where that ball is going to go? Yes, sir.
What portion of the voters are from east of the Hudson?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Out of how many?
I don't know. When you say voters, do you mean the Gold Glove voters?
Yes, yes.
Oh, well, I mean, it's all the teams. So each team votes. Okay. There's 100 votes among 30 teams, so each team has 3 votes, and you can't vote for the person on your team. So all the Jeter votes came from around the league, so other than the Red Sox, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Anyone? Oh, over here. Yes, sir.
Yes, I enjoyed the presentation very much.
Oh,
I do think I do think the way you presented the data had a slight problem, and then it blurred the distinction between a lot of people who maybe didn't deserve gold gloves, but who were great players and perfectly adequate fielders on the one hand, like Barry Larkin and people like Derek Jeter on the other.
Yeah,
but
I thought I said that a couple of times,
okay,
actually.
Well, anyway. But I think what is amazing, I mean, I've just finished a book called Baseball Greatness.
It's just is there a question?
Yes, there is a question. I'm amazed at how ignorant organizations still are. There's a phenomenon that's still going on that I'd like you to comment on, that if somebody is a terrible hitter, it's easy for him to get a reputation as a great fielder and to live on that.
That's Nichols' law,
Okay, Jackie Bradley Jr. has actually convinced the fans and the writers that if he could hit 240, which at the moment he can't, he'd be an extremely valuable player. And actually, he might be a good center fielder, but he's not off the charts by any means. And that's absolutely ridiculous to think that if he could hit 240, it would be fine to have him out there. But that's still going on all the time. And I wonder if you have any comment on the organizations that are still making mistakes like that.
Absolutely. And I would say, certainly in regard to Jackie Bradley, I assume for 240, you're referring to his WOBA. I would also say that, yes, some organizations do that, and I don't think any of them are that ignorant, because I think the saying is, this is the exact kind of question Windshare was developed to answer. And I should have gone over a lot better. But no, the answer is, they look at WAR. All the groups do. So overall, he might be able to hit 240 if he hits 100 home runs or whatever. So yeah, he can still be valuable. Next. Okay.
So, you know, Derek Jeter, he's Captain Clutch, Mr. November, last single-digit Yankee, all that stuff. Do you think that's the only reason why he's considered a great fielder, or do you think there's something else about the way he fields that leads people to believe that?
So I think certainly flash matters.
Yeah.
I think that flash matters for Vizquel. I think that flash matters for a lot of people that won. Fielding is turning batted balls into outs.
Right.
Derek Jeter did not do that.
Right. What do you think his biggest flaw was?
He was bad at fielding.
Everything?
He didn't.
No.
He could not go to his left. I mean, past the diving Jeter is, I mean, I think that is what Sterling has said more than anything else.
Right.
Dave, thank you.
Chris, greatest presentation ever.
Yeah.
What do you think, what's the relevance and the future of something like UZR or DRS that are based on vectors and all that, with all the shifts going on today, and even the titles of positions becoming less relevant over time?
So that's a good question. I came to the scoring committee meeting, and they made a really good point. If they shift, that guy's still the third baseman. I don't care where he's standing, right? If he comes in for a bunt, he's not suddenly the pitcher. He's still the third baseman, right? I don't have any issue with counting the shifts as a play made out of his zone, how far he had to go to get it. I think that a lot of the data that comes out now says shifts are not as valuable. The Cubs don't shift, and they're one of the smartest teams. And the Astros shift like crazy, and they're one of the dumbest teams if you know their front office. I'm kidding. Colin Wires is a friend of mine, so that was for him. And they're the champions. So I'm not sure how that's going to go yet, but I think it will come out in the wash on defensive analysis. Tony? Go ahead, Tony.
Mine's real quick. It's a great presentation, but I'm pretty sure you said the most incorrect thing that's ever been said in the history of a Sabre presentation. Can you explain your comment about how you don't dig in your heels in an argument?
My wife loved that portion during my practice. Sir?
I think there's probably a lot of people out here like me who only have a vague notion of, you base your presentation on the legitimacy of SDI. You talked about the formulas, but you didn't talk much about why they're valid. So could you talk about what goes into those various formulas that makes them valid?
That's a very long one, and we could talk about that after, because that would take too long for
the next presentation. You can't summarize it?
No. It's a good, long conversation. But the answer, I'm happy to talk to you about it. I'm not saying I'm not dodging it. No, he's not happy about that. Yes, sir.
Since the topic is fielding, I want to ask a question of everyone in the room. If everyone in the room were the commissioner of baseball, would you vote for a rule that banned shifts?
Oh, no. Next. Because everybody can't come in on a bunt. That's a shift. Go ahead.
Okay. very good speaker, didn't agree with a lot of what you said, but while I listened to you, I've wondered this for years. Why can't they award the Gold Gloves based on number of chances handled successfully? I still have not been able to, that takes
That's
into account the range.
Percentage.
No,
they've
how many
it
outs you record? How many outs you record?
Yes. I think that's what they did, but it's close. All right, wrapping up, last one. Yes, sir.
You mentioned something about positioning. And how do you take into account where a fielder starts a play, where a coach says you need to move over 20 feet?
Yes.
And how does that factor into evaluating?
The current metrics don't care where he starts. StatCast will change that. We just aren't there because if you, and this was in my presentation last year, if you look at where fielders start and where they catch the ball, it the same circle occurs as what stats does. So John DeWine got it right 35 years ago. All right, thank you, everybody. Thank you.